Well, this summer we are doing a short series on finances, on money, and a 9-week series, and we're about halfway through. I encourage you to turn with me in your Bibles this morning to the book of 1 John, toward the end of your New Testament, the little book of 1 John. And we're going to start out today by looking at just three verses in 1 John chapter 2. So 1 John chapter 2, starting to read in verse 15. We'll read those together. 1 John chapter 2, starting to read in verse 15. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away and also its lusts, but the one who does the will of God abides forever. We started out our series clear back in the Old Testament in the book of Deuteronomy in the 8th chapter. And in Deuteronomy 8, we highlighted a general theme that is undergirding our whole series on finances, and that is simply this: all we have comes from God. Very basic premise, very biblical premise, that everything that you have and everything that I have has come to us from God's hand. Deuteronomy 8 talks about the fact that when we start feeling secure financially, when our business ventures grow, and our savings is full, we tend to forget God. And we start thinking that we have what we have because we have worked hard. We have what we have because of our creativity and ingenuity. And yet God reminds us in Deuteronomy 8 that He is the one who gives us even the power to work. And that ultimately everything that we have comes from Him. And we shared the illustration of my wife and I's little relative who's learning how to pray, and at the table went through and in learning how to pray is thanking God for everything on the table, including thank you God for the salt. Very biblical prayer. If we actually recognize that everything that we have has come to us from God. Now, upon that bedrock truth, we've been talking about a very biblical concept, the concept of simplicity. And we define simplicity as a Christ-centered unconcern for possessions. And we use that passage we read earlier out of Matthew 6. That if our passion is to know Jesus Christ and to know more of Jesus Christ and to have Jesus Christ transforming our lives and to be used of Christ to further what He's doing in the world, if that is our passion and our drive in our lives, we will not be concerned about our stuff. And so we've defined simplicity as a Christ-centered unconcern for possessions. And we've talked about the fact that if that's reality, if simplicity is reality in your life and in my life, we should see some outward signs of it. Last week we talked about an outward sign of the inward reality of simplicity as a willingness to give of what we have to others. And today we want to look at a second outward sign of the inward reality of simplicity, the fruit of simplicity. And that is simply this: do we view our stuff, do we make our purchases based on utility or prestige? In other words, do we surround ourselves with things that are useful, or are we surrounding ourselves with things that others will look at and we feel like we gain our significance through our stuff? If simplicity is reality in our lives, we will not be driven by trying to make purchases that cause us to be lifted up in the eyes of other people. Utility or prestige. Tomorrow, my wife Barbara and I will be in Chicago. Our younger two sons went out on the missions trip, and our oldest son's kind of on autopilot anyway, so we're going to take a couple of days and get out of Dodge. And so we're going to Chicago, and tomorrow we will be on Michigan Avenue. Michigan Avenue is like the place to be in downtown Chicago, especially for those who like to shop. And you'll see the average person on Michigan Avenue will have a shopping bag of some kind. Maybe you will see that person with a shopping bag that has a little apple on it. Or maybe you will see that person walking down Michigan Avenue with a Nike swoosh. Or for me, who likes to cook, maybe you'll see the little words William Sonoma on the side of that bag. Let me ask you a question. You are tomorrow on Michigan Avenue with me, and you are assigned to carry a bag down Michigan Avenue. And, you know, that's a pretty good thing to have a bag on Michigan Avenue, especially if you have a little girl. You can carry that little red American Girl bag. A lot, you know, hey, look what I've got. How would you feel if tomorrow on Michigan Avenue, your bag said Kmart? You're walking proud down Michigan Avenue with your Kmart bag. Would that bother you? Would you do it? Think about it. You may be more driven by what people think of your stuff than you think. I know I am. So the verses that we're going to look at today remind us of how much of a push on us, how much of a drive there is in this world system in which we live to find our significance in stuff, and how much of a drive there is to push us to somehow purchase things to make us look better. Which brings us to 1 John 2. Now, in this little letter that John is writing to these Christians, he's encouraged about where they're at in their lives. But he's warning them about some potential dangers, some pitfalls, if you will. And one of the potential dangers that all of us face in the Christian life is loving this world in which we live too much. And so John writes in verse 15, "Do not love the world." Now, he's not talking there in that verse about the planet Earth. He's talking about this world system. And the scriptures are very clear that the world system in which we currently live is hostile toward God. The world is anti-God. The world is under the control of Satan and his forces, as the Bible defines it. So here John says, don't love the world nor the things in the world. It's not a verse saying that everything material is wrong. Material things are neutral. He's going to tell us what he's talking about in verse 16. So he says, don't love this world. If you do, the end of the verse says, the love of the Father is not in him. In other words, you can't be loving this world system and loving God at the same time. Now, verse 16 fleshes out what he's saying in verse 15. What does he mean, don't love the world? Well, verse 16 tells us, all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father. The lust of the flesh. The word flesh in the Greek New Testament is a word that is talking about that inner part of you that has a drive to sin. That part of you that wants to do the exact opposite of what God wants you to do. It's that part of you that oftentimes Bible teachers or theologians will call your sin nature. We see it referred to, and you don't have to turn there, I'll just read it quickly. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, it says this, I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. So here John says, in this world system, we see that sinful nature within humankind driving people's decisions. The lust of the flesh, that sinful desire that comes from within. The next thing, the lust of the eyes, is that desire, that drive to sin from without. Those temptations that this world has to try to pull us away from loving God. And then it says the third thing that's of this world is where we really want to key in, the boastful pride of life. That's a phrase that encompasses our stuff. That's a phrase that talks about our possessions and our accomplishments that we tend to try to lift up and say, look at this world, this is what I've done. Look at me. This is what I have accomplished by my ingenuity and creativity and my hard work. I've carved this out, and it was me. You see, that's what the world has to offer. Lift yourself up. And the problem is, in verse 17, John tells us, the world's passing away. All of that stuff in which we tend to try to find our significance, it's all going to be ash. There's no eternal significance to it. The only thing that has eternal significance is what we do for Jesus Christ. Verse 17, the world's passing away and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God abides forever. So we see here in 1 John, if we're trying to impress others with our possessions, that's what the world tries to do. That's important to the world, but the problem is, that's passing away. My youngest two sons headed out for Jamaica yesterday on the missions trip. And anymore, they just pack themselves. And I overheard my youngest son talking about the athletic shorts that he was going to put into his bag. He mostly wears black, you know, the black ones that go down about to your knee. And he has scads of pairs. Some of the pairs he values greatly. Others to him are dispensable. And the difference between the ones that he values and the ones that are dispensable is simply a little bit of thread at the bottom of the short with a little itty-bitty tiny guy that looks like he's doing the splits. So you have an embroidered little man stitched on a pair of black shorts. Does that embroidered little man help my son's vertical? Does it help him get down the court quicker? Does it enable him to do a 360 tomahawk jam? No, it's just a little tiny embroidered guy on those shorts. And I overheard him say, I'm not taking my Jordans to Jamaica. So, you know, the ones without the little stitching, identical, they're probably made in the same place. But because of that little tiny piece of white thread embroidered on those shorts, those are valuable. Why? It's because of what other people think of that little white guy stitch on the shorts, isn't it? And we look at that and say, oh man, you know that is pretty ludicrous, but how much are we driven by the same type of things? And so what we're looking at here is our need to recognize some of the tendencies, some of the drives within us that shape the purchases we make, that shape how and with what we surround ourselves in our everyday lives. And if we are surrounding ourselves with stuff because we feel like it makes us more significant, that we feel better about ourselves if we're walking down the street with a Mac bag than we would a Kmart bag, or if I go to the Y and play basketball on Monday, if I have a little white Michael Jordan stitch in my shorts versus a pair that doesn't have the little Michael Jordan, if we're finding that those things are driving us, we're probably falling into the trap of what John's talking about here in the boastful pride of life. Turn with me over to the book of 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter is talking about the everyday Christian life and living it in a way that's yielded to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is our example of selflessness. And in 1 Peter 3, he's talking about wives and husbands. And the principle behind what he says to the wives here is a principle that really fits in with what we're talking about and applies to men and women. Notice in verse 3 of 1 Peter 3, it says this, let not, he's talking to wives, let not your adornment be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry and putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with an imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. Peter's saying, you've got a choice. You can put your focus on looking good on the outside, or you can put your focus on looking good on the inside. Are you going to look good on the outside and neglect Christ-likeness? Here he's saying Christ-likeness should be our drive and our passion. Now notice there's a choice to be made. Either you're going to focus on the externals, basically the prestige, or you're going to focus on the internals. Now, ultimately, in the Christian life, God is the one who does a work in us and helps make us into the image of Christ and transforms us. But that also involves us making decisions. In fact, it makes us making a decision and then repeating that decision and repeating that decision because, as we saw in 1 John, this world in which we live is continuing to press in on us and say, you get your significance through your stuff. You demonstrate your value through your stuff and your position. That's how you make a place for yourself. The Bible is completely counterculture to that, and it says your stuff doesn't make any difference. What we need to focus on is becoming more like Jesus Christ in our heart. And it's good for us to look at 1 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4 and say, you know what, that's true. I need to focus on my inner person and stop being driven by my stuff. But it's not as easy as just deciding that once. Because every day we come to another fork in the road where we have to make a decision again and again and again. When our sons were little, we used to almost yearly go to Colorado. Now that they've gotten older and they all have jobs, it's hard to get away for those trips, but we used to go to Summit County, and we'd always go to the same place. And when I went to Colorado, in the summer especially, there's one thing on the agenda. We are going to be outside. None of this watching the TV. I wish the condo didn't even have a television. We are going to be outside. And so I'd always start my morning up before everybody, and I had a favorite little coffee place I'd go and just read and watch the mountains. And then when everybody got up, we'd hike. We'd hike in the morning. We'd come back and have some lunch in the afternoon. What are we going to do? We're going to hike. And if I really got my way, we'd do an evening hike too. That's why we're here, to enjoy Colorado. You don't enjoy Colorado inside a car or, heaven forbid, in a mall. You enjoy Colorado on the trails. And I can remember at that time my oldest son is a seventh grader saying, I want to do my own hike. I want to go by myself. And I can remember saying to him, no way. You're a seventh grade kid. I'm not letting you up in the Rocky Mountains by yourself. And one of the reasons why I wouldn't let him go by himself is we'd head out on a trail, and some of the trails would be marked, like color-coded, and maybe you'd follow like a little blue diamond, and you'd be going along the trail, but then all of a sudden there's another trail going this way, and that might have a little brown diamond. And then you'd go up a little bit more, and there'd maybe be a green trail coming in, and a red trail coming in. And every step of the way, there's another choice to make. Am I going to stay on my current path? Or am I going to go off to the right or to the left? And the same thing happens to us in our Christian lives. Except in our Christian lives, we live in a world in which we're trying to be pushed off of the path onto another one that goes off to the left or the right. And so what we find here in 1 Peter 3 is very counterculture. We looked at it a week ago. I'll just read it quickly. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8, it says this, if we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. That's totally a statement of saying that what we have needs to be based on utility, on usage, not prestige. If we have the basic necessities of life, we should be happy. So we find John telling us that our world system is trying to push us into finding our significance in our stuff. We find Peter saying that we should focus more on the heart than we should on the external trappings of our life. We find Paul in 1 Timothy saying we should be thankful just with the basic necessities of life. So how do we keep that all in balance? How do we keep from falling into the trap of loving the world and finding our significance in our things? I'm more and more convinced as I get older in the Lord that the way we find victory and grow in our Christian lives is through staying in our Bibles on a steady, regular basis. Your Bible is what gives you perspective. Your Bible is what gives you direction. We can't live out the Christian life the way we should without hearing from God through the Word on a regular basis. And that's how He talks to us. I'm going to take us on just a little side trip to John 14. Remember that the Scriptures in Romans chapter 8 tells us that every Christian has the Holy Spirit within us. Every Christian has the Spirit of God dwelling within. John 14 and John 15 tell us that one of the main roles of the Holy Spirit is as a teacher. John 14 verse 16 says, I'll ask the Father and He will give you another helper, and He that He may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth. John chapter 14 down in verse 26 says, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. John chapter 15, verse 26 says, "When the Helper comes, whom I send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness of me." So the Spirit of God is the one who teaches us. He takes the words of this book, and as you read your Bible, impresses those words of your Bible onto your heart and helps you see, I need to adjust my life here. This is not right about my life here. Or I'm thinking the way the world thinks in this area of my life. And if we want to mature and grow in our Christian lives, the battle is in our mind and in our heart. Remember Romans chapter 12, verse 2, talks about that pressure of the world that John's talking about. And in Romans 12, 2, it says, don't be conformed to this world. Don't let the drive of your sinful flesh and the lust of the eyes and your boastful pride of life to push you into the world's form. Well, what do we do about it? We need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, how does that happen? Through this book. It's not enough on Sunday morning to come to church and listen to the Word. Each and every one of us need our own copy of the Word, and we read it daily. And I'm not saying that to be legalistic, to say that somehow that gets you in good with God or earns you merit with God. I'm saying it because we need to hear from God. And the way we hear from God is by reading the only book that He's ever written and allowing the Holy Spirit to take it and to transform us. That's how we keep from getting conformed to this world system. That's how, even in everyday stuff, like what am I buying? What am I surrounding myself with? How important to me are my things? Even in questions like that, if we stay in the Word, God can help us see when we're thinking about maybe getting off the blue course onto the brown course. When we're feeling pressured to get off the pathway that we need to be on. Peter said, don't focus on the externals of your life. Focus on your heart. That's what's important. Having a Christ-like character is more important than having Jordan shorts. Now, is it wrong to have a pair of Jordans? Well, we've got a bunch of them in our house. No, it's not wrong. It's just a pair of cloth with some stitching on it, especially if you can get them on sale. But if you're finding your significance in those Jordan shorts, if you're buying those Jordan shorts because you feel like it will cause the people around you to hold you in higher esteem, then we've got to look and say, what's motivating my heart? Am I being motivated by what the world says? You find your significance in your things. If we are, our things are passing away. And sooner or later, if we're finding our significance in our stuff, we're going to face great disappointment. Because finally we'll see that our stuff is just that. It's just stuff. Father, I thank you for your word and pray that you will continue to help shape us and transform us through it. We pray that you would help each of us here this morning to be open to your Holy Spirit and what you are teaching us through the Spirit and your word, and that we'd be sensitive to your leading in our lives. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.